I wonder how many of you are like me. Do you get built up for an event, and then once the event actually happens and it's gone, you kind of feel, I don't know, it's like the wind's just out of your sails. You know, vacation, we look forward to vacation for probably 9 months out of the year. And then it comes and it goes, and you're on your way home, and you're like, Christmas, you know, as a kid, I remember, oh, it's right around the bend, right around the bend. It's only 120 days away. And then it kind of came and went, and you just go, it's like the wind's let out of your sails. I don't know if that's just me or if that's, a good part of the population, but it can certainly happen. And you have to keep in mind that the Hebrews, the Jewish people in Israel, were waiting. They were waiting for thousands of years for the promise to be fulfilled, that the Messiah would come. And I sit back and I put myself in the shoes of Simeon or Anna, the prophetess here. And, you know, we're waiting. And it happened. And you take that baby. It's almost like when Luke comes through the door there, everyone rushes over. I want that baby. And you have it, and it's like, this is it. This is what we've been waiting for. Here, you can have your baby back. But today's lesson, our gospel lesson, is that this is just the beginning. It's not the end. It's not the fulfillment, the finish, but it's the beginning of the promise being unfolded. And the text today focuses on how Christ is here to help us, even as this child. He is here to help us take it to the next level. So it's not the end of something. It's really the beginning of the end, if you want to call it that. Today's reading focuses on the rewards we will receive for obedience. Think about that. Or the fulfillment of patience, something that has left us. I mean, I have no patience in the world. But the fulfillment of patience and how Christ assists us with spreading His gospel. Not our gospel, it's His story, not just history. And I really, I was very blessed to go through this because it helped me kind of pick myself back up and it wasn't such a letdown. See, obedience is one of those things that we don't really talk about a lot, but in today's gospel, I want to point out some of the areas where Mary and Joseph were very obedient. See, Luke does a great job at pinpointing it, at precisely writing out that they were doing these things because the law of the Lord told them to. How many here like to be told what to do? I don't see many hands. I'm that way as well. But there are things that we are told to do and not to do. You must stop at a stop sign. If you don't, there will be problems if someone sees you. And pausing and rolling through, that doesn't count. That was explained to me in vivid detail that that does not count. And the officer was very friendly. But there were things that Mary and Joseph had to do. And it was a time not only for Jesus to be presented at the temple, but it was a time for their own purification. And there was a period of time where Mary was considered unclean, Joseph too, because he was with her. And after that period of uncleanliness had passed, they were to come to the temple. They were to make a trek to the temple to be purified again. And you may think that sounds so archaic, but you know, it wasn't that long ago that the church continued to do the same thing. It was called the churching of women, if I'm not mistaken. I'm pulling this out of my ear right now, but it was called the churching of women. And if you have an old hymnal or an old service book, you will actually find in there, along with an Advent service and a Christmas Eve service and a Holy Communion service and a service of the Word, you will find a churching of women. And after a period of time, after they had their child, they would bring the child in for the first time for the congregation to see, and there was a special blessing given to that mother to welcome her back into the church for continuing to bring God's gifts into the world with the birth of the child. So it really wasn't, when I'm saying not long ago, has anyone ever seen a Churching of Women service? One, see, it's not that long ago. It's very recent that the church has stopped doing that. But it was their time. They brought the child in. The child was also, according to the text here, to be dedicated to the Lord, the firstborn male. And Mary and Joseph had to bring a special offering, a special sacrifice. And they did these things knowing that they were required to, but they were also willing to do it as well. Those are the two things that have to go hand in hand. See, being told to do something is one thing, but being willing is a whole different thing. I want to please the police officers in New Brighton, Pennsylvania. I will stop at the stop sign for 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 and proceed on. It's a desire to please the higher authority. And that is being a Christian. We are told things to do and things not to do. I came across this little illustration by Charles Swindoll while I was putting together the sermon. I thought it was really, really neat. It came down to actually the doing. It's a good illustration of doing and not just, you know, lip service. Chuck Swindoll writes, "Imagine, if you will, that you work for a company. And the president of the company has to go away out of the country for an extended period of time, but he's going to continue to write letters back to the employees. He says, I'm going to leave, and while I'm gone, I want you to pay close attention to the business and manage things while I'm away. I will tell you what to do regularly, and whatever I tell you and instruct you to do, you should do them until I return from my trip away." Everyone agreed. Well, he leaves and he's gone. In fact, he's gone for several years. And during that time, he is writing, communicating his desires and concerns. And one day, he returns. He walks to the front door of the company and discovers that it's a mess. There are weeds growing up through the flower beds. There are cracks in the sidewalk. A window is broken in the front of the building. And the girl at the front desk is sleeping, listening to loud music. Two or three people engage in horseplay in the hallway. Instead of making a profit, the business has suffered a great financial loss. And so the owner calls everyone together and he asks, "What happened? Did you not receive my letters?" The company spokesman says, "Of course we received them. We got every one of them and we bound them up. We put them into a book and we meet regularly to read through them. Some of us have even memorized those letters and we study them one day a week. We gather in the evening. They were great letters." And the president said, "Then why didn't you follow what I was saying?" And the employees responded, "Why didn't we follow them? Well, we read them all, but we found it much more difficult to actually do what you asked of us." We cannot be those types of Christians. I don't care how many verses you've memorized. I don't care how many times you've got together in a Bible study. The important thing is to do what our commander-in-chief has asked us to do, the real King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Obedience is necessary. Christ saved us, but he wants us to follow what he has asked us to do. Dr. Miller, whom I don't know, but is attributed to the quote of, "It's easier to do that which God gives us to do, no matter how hard it is, than to face the responsibilities of not doing it." It's easier to do that which God has given us to do, no matter how hard it is, than to face the responsibilities of not doing it. I want a beautiful, beautiful palace. I want to make sure that the company is running well. Lighthouse is churning ahead full speed, and I have to say that we are doing wonderful things for the community outside that surrounds us, for our friends and our neighbors, and we got to continue to do that. Our text today continues on and talks about patients. I've always said patients are for doctors and nurses. Patience is a difficult thing to have. I think I've gotten more patient as I got older. Julie, maybe a little, that much? A little more patient. I know she's shaking her head inside, yes. But I try, and I have to get better at it. It's difficult. Things try our patience. We have drivers cut us off. We have buses that don't show up on time. We have bosses that are demanding during the holidays. And many, many other things. I mean, just too numerous to even mention. Simeon was patient. He was devout and righteous. He was told that he would not see death until he saw the redemption of Israel, the consolation of the Lord. And he was patient about it. He waited. And the Holy Spirit led him to the place and the exact time. And he saw it. And his words were, Lord, you may now dismiss me. Bring me up to heaven. I'm done. I've seen what you've promised. There's nothing more that I need in my life. And it was fulfilled. God gave him the fulfillment of what was promised. We are promised eternal life. We're promised mansions in heaven. There are many rooms that Christ has gone on to prepare for us. We have to learn to be patient. Our time and God's time are two totally different things. I want stuff to happen now. As a matter of fact, that's not fast enough. It has to be faster than a click. I want things yesterday. I'm an impulse buyer. I don't shop. I suddenly feel cold. I need a coat. I walk in the store, buy a coat, I'm done shopping. That's how I shop. We need to be patient. My wife will shop any of you under the pew. She could be gone for hours. And when she comes home, it's like, what'd you buy? Well, I got this one thing on sale. You were gone for hours. Just shopping. That's an art. I don't have that kind of patience. I hope it rubs off on me. She's a blessing and keeps me grounded. But Simeon got to see that which he was patient for. There's an anonymous poem out there. And many of you, well, 50% of you will probably agree with this poem. Patience is a virtue. Possess it if you can. Found seldom in a woman and never in a man. It fits me. Yeah, some of us can relate to that, huh? We must be patient and let the Lord do what He does on His time. Let me give you an old Hebrew story. There was a man named Abraham. Not Abraham of the Bible. This is a Jewish story. It's old folklore. There's a man named Abraham. And he was sitting outside of his tent one evening. And a weary man who was old in age came toward him and came up to Abraham. And Abraham said, would you like to come into my tent? And then he washed the man's feet and wanted to give him some food and drink. And the old man immediately began to eat and didn't say a prayer. And Abraham said, don't you worship God? And the old man said, I only worship fire. I have no reverence for anyone's God. And Abraham became incensed. And he grabbed the old man by the shoulders and he tossed him out of his tent into the cold night air. The old man had a few choice words and left. And God called down to his friend Abraham once things had quieted down. Said, Abraham, Abraham, what happened to the stranger? And Abraham said, I forced him out because he would not worship you. I have no time for people like that. And God said, Abraham, I have been working with this man for 84 years. And although he dishonors me, you couldn't spend one night to give him your care and comfort. We have no idea what God is working through people. We walk up and say, do you believe in Jesus? And they say no, and immediately kick him out of the way. It takes time. And the Lord works on his own time scale. Sometimes he works with people for 84 years and puts them into our midst and says, come on, give them a little comfort. Give them a little food. Tell them about Jesus. We have to make sure we don't kick them out into the cold night air. And that's difficult to do. It's very difficult as a pastor when someone comes up and does not believe in Jesus and has bad things to say about him. It does incense me. But we have to be patient. It's the Holy Spirit that converts hearts, not our blabbering. Patience. And then finally, we have teaching, preaching, evangelism, whatever you want to call it, all wrapped up in the prophetess Anna. Anna was very old, and she stayed in the temple night and day. And she came over and saw this child. And I like what the text has to say. Luke writes that she never left the temple, worshiped night and day, came up at that very moment, gave thanks to God, and then spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. I like to look at this as that young child giving Anna the necessary words to say to those who were around waiting for the consolation of Israel. The redemption of Jerusalem. One and the same. It's not about how well we can speak. You have to kind of lay that aside. It's not about how good of a preacher someone is. And I don't point to myself for that because I have my own thoughts on what I do right and what I do incorrectly. It's the message. The message is that Christ was born and he lived a perfect life. And he went willingly to the cross to save you and me. And then he rose again. There is no other religion. I use that word and I don't even like to. There are no other belief systems in the world that come close to that. Our God came to be one of us. And he did it in order to save us. And that's the message we have to tell people. Well, why did he heal me? Because that's not the point. The point is that he heals us spiritually. He died for us. He knows what we go through. And someday we will go and we will see him again. We have to be patient. We have to be obedient. We have to carry that message on to others. So, good text today. I enjoyed it. It kept me up a couple evenings here. But it was it brought me and kind of filled me back up now that the Christmas lull is, at least in the secular world, over. But for Christians, it's just beginning. We have 12 days of Christmas. So keep those trees up if you haven't put them away already. And continue to be patient and obedient and tell people about the child that came to save us all from our sins. Amen.